Sometimes as people of faith, we don't always behave in the ways that we have been called. And so I thought this joke was a great way that we can laugh at ourselves. So there was this guy, and he's in a car, and he's driving along, and he comes to a car behind him. There's a stop red light. And that's all fine. And then the light turns green, and he notices the woman in front of him is doing something on the front seat. She's ignoring the green light. So he leans on the horn. She's not paying any attention. He starts yelling out the window, rolls down the window, starts yelling at her. He goes into full-blown road rage. Then he notices that there's a police officer behind him. And he's thinking, well, he can't arrest me for yelling at somebody in my own car. Police officer comes up, says, I'm going to take you in. The guy says, why, you can't arrest me for yelling in my car. Guy says, going to take you in. Throws him in jail, leaves him in there for a few hours. A few hours later, opens the cell. The guy comes out and he said, how dare you? I knew you couldn't do anything. You couldn't lock me up there forever. I haven't done anything. You can't arrest me for yelling in my own car. And the police officer said, I didn't arrest you for shouting in your car. I was directly behind you at the light. I saw you screaming and beating your steering wheel and yelling at the woman in front of you. And I said to myself, what a jerk. But there is nothing I can do to him for throwing a fit in his own car. He said, and then I noticed the cross hanging from your rearview mirror and the fish symbol on your bumper. And I thought you must have stolen the car. On Monday morning when I returned to work, I was just brushing my teeth, and I knew that I had to come in and quickly put a bulletin together for Jane. So I said, God, you know, I've been away for 5 weeks. I know there's stuff going on. I need your guidance as to what scripture I should preach this morning, on Sunday morning. Aware that Knox, we've been going through a lot of stuff. Before I left, while I was away, and the trilogy of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son popped into my mind, and I thought, people are probably feeling a little lost and bewildered and confused right now. And then I found out on Thursday that Deb Bowman had already preached on the lost son a couple weeks ago, but a repeat scripture, I guess God thought we needed to hear it again. I don't know. So here it is. Throughout our lives, we lose so many things that are precious to us. Life, it sometimes feels like, is a process of losing. When we're first born, we lose the safety and security of our mother's womb and emerge into a very big world. As we grow, we lose our first teeth. Later on, we lose our second set of teeth. We lose a favorite toy, or harder yet, a beloved pet. We lose a game. We lose a best friend who moves away. We lose our innocence as children. We lose our childhood. We lose a grandparent. We lose jobs. We lose income. We lose homes, we lose relationships, we lose families, we lose people that we love, we lose trust in people, we lose trust in ourselves, we lose our eyesight, our hearing, or our hair, we lose our health, we lose our minds, we lose our independence, we lose ourselves, we lose our faith in the church, or even in God. We lose our lives. The list of what a human journey looks like around lost goes on and on. And Luke's trilogy of lostness reminds us of how we can find our way home again through the lostness. That it is in the lostness that necessary realizations are found. and truth and grace and reconciliation become possible. It's a really interesting how Luke sets it up. He's the only one who does this in all of Scripture. He sets it up with three movements. And I was taught in Jungian dream analysis that that's how the unconscious or the soul works. When we're sleeping and we're struggling with an issue, then we will usually, the dream weavers will usually give us, our souls, our unconscious, whatever you want to call it, will give us usually different scenarios as a presentation of the issue. And so it gets, scene one would be a presentation of the issue. If they think we're not getting it, they'll give us scene two in a totally different scenario, just in case we didn't get it the first time. And then scene three is usually a solution or a resolution to the problem. And so this is kind of what Luke does in our story today of lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. So it begins, and why Jesus even tells these stories, and I doubt if he told these stories one after the other, but Luke puts it that way, that people, like people love to do in the community, people in the community of faith are complaining about who Jesus is hanging out with. And they're judging the people over there as somehow just not doing it right. Just not doing life right. Tax collectors and sinners. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't know a person alive who doesn't sin, who doesn't miss the mark, who doesn't speak out of turn, who isn't hoping to do this with an intention, a good intention, and ends up over here with a negative impact. That's what it means to sin, is to miss the mark. You're aiming for one thing and you end up with a big mess. And Jesus reminds the people who are being all critical and judgy and pointing fingers at their fellow community members and blaming one another that our purpose is not to sit in judgment of one another, but to remember that we are all precious and of great worth. All three stories, therefore, share the same three themes and movement. All three are about reconciliation, about what is lost being found and relationships being restored, about something being lost to the whole and what needs to happen for recovery of what has been lost. So how do we as a community of faith find our way through this time of confusion and lostness? I think he gives us four clues. Message number one. Recognize that each of us is precious to God and invaluable, priceless, and therefore priceless to one another. Even though the shepherd is apparently a very wealthy man because he's got 100 sheep, each one is equally precious to him as the next, and he'll leave the 99 that he thinks are safe and go in search of the one that is lost. Even though the woman who has 10 coins, and so by that standard, first century standard, is very well off, she's lost one coin, and that is so precious to her that it's worth all the effort she has to find it, and she doesn't give up until she's swept and cleaned the whole house herself, not sent somebody else to do it. The father considers the selfish, foolish son as precious to him as the elder son who never asked for money and never left home and did everything right. And the father reminds the elder brother that his younger brother might be selfish and foolish and done everything wrong, but he's still precious and beloved. And now he is alive again. In other words, Jesus is saying to his hearers, the tax collectors and sinners are just as precious to God as the good and devout people. We are all beloved of God. No one is less or more precious to God in this community than any other. So in this time of lostness, we are asked to remember that we are all children of the living God. Each member of this community is precious and invaluable. No one is more or less valuable than another, and we need to treat one another with respect and dignity and great love. Message number two, I think. The story reminds us that we are to search diligently. This time for Knox is a time to do some soul searching about what exactly is wrong. People ask, what's going on? What's happening? No one is telling us anything. I know something's going on, but I'm not sure what. So I need to say this. What is happening at Knox is multi-layered. As in all communities of faith, we are complex because there's a lot of us here. And this tension that is happening at Knox right now may have been precipitated by a couple of things in June and throughout the summer. But this tension and spirit of divisiveness among the leadership has been with Knox for a very long time. It isn't new. And I've been trying to understand what underlies it for 3 years now. And I'm still searching to understand some of the mistrust that seems to plague this community. But I know we're all really good people here, and we are all beloved and precious to the Good Shepherd, to the God who created us. And I think it is no coincidence that the mission that God guided us is the exact mission that we need right now for ourselves. That guided by the creative spirit of God, we strive to build community that cares, shares, and dares. Before we can be that for the wider community, with any integrity, we first need to be all of that for one another. And so I'm really excited for this professional conflict mediator, Kevin Fletcher, that Regional has recommended to come and help us resolve the tensions in our congregation that I believe have been here at least since 1988. Different people, same struggle, the human struggle. So I'm excited that this is going to be a wonderful, precious opportunity for us to resolve this, to learn how to speak with one another, to learn how to heal our differences. Similarly, around searching for truth, searching for answers, searching for guidance. Similarly, people have mentioned to me that they are concerned that some people may have left the church or will leave the church because of these tensions. So I would encourage you, if you have friends that have left, go search for them and encourage them to come back and go through the process with us. A long time ago, I heard a statistic that said if someone leaves the church hurt or angry, that if someone doesn't go and let them know that they're missed and welcomed back, within the first 6 weeks of their departure, then the chances are high that they will feel that nobody cared and they won't come back. And it will take 7 pastoral interventions before they will consider returning. So I encourage you that while it is always important to respect the need for space when people decide to leave the community out of hurt or anger or frustration, give a little space. But don't wait too long. Please go and search for them. Like the shepherd who leaves the 99 who are apparently safe in search of the one who has left the fold. Like the woman who doesn't stop sweeping the house clean until she finds that one precious coin, even though she has 9 others. Or like the father who realizes that while his lost son has returned and come home, the elder son is the one who is now lost and is in pain, who feels hurt and betrayed and unappreciated and resentful of the younger brother who is selfish. And so the father leaves the party to go in search of the elder son who refuses to come in. So I encourage us to live into message two, to do some soul searching, to sort out in our hearts what it is we feel we have lost right now, either in our lives or in the life of this community, and in compassion, search for those who may have left. Message three of our stories this morning: repentance and forgiveness is central to these stories, which is kind of odd when you think about it. As Amy Jill Levine, who is a Jewish scholar, says about, who's reading the New Testament, she says, sheep don't repent. Coins don't repent. They're incapable of that. Only people, only humans can search our hearts and realize when we have done harm or not. So what is Jesus getting at? Who needs to repent? Who needs to search their hearts and make a change in behavior? Because that's what repentance means. Metanoia in Greek, which is to undergo a change of heart. To repent means to do a 180 and go in a completely different direction than you were going, to have a change in behavior. The story of the lost sheep and the lost coin both conclude with Jesus saying, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 100 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Like the shepherd who doesn't berate the sheep for being lost, or the woman who takes responsibility for having lost the coin and doesn't blame someone else in her family for losing it or stealing it. Or like the father who doesn't give the younger son a lecture on his bad behavior and perhaps the father recognizes that it was his own foolish indulgence of his younger son, his spoiling of his younger son, in which he took off in the first place. He takes responsibility for the choices he has made. The shepherd takes responsibility for the lost sheep. The woman takes responsibility for the lost coin. The father takes responsibility for being an indulgent father. Responsibility is accepted, and extravagant grace follows. It is important that as we go through this process, we need to search our own hearts to determine how we may have contributed to hurt in this community, and take responsibility, each of us, for how our words or actions may have done harm. Now, I'm aware that many of you are new to Knox and haven't had time to contribute to the pain of this community. Right? You just haven't had time. And some of you have never been at the center of conflict. You've always seen conflict going on, going, oh, I'm getting out of, I'm just going to step aside, I'm just going to do my thing, just going to do my thing. Very wise. But if you find yourselves choosing sides or blaming certain individuals for all the troubles at Knox, then you are contributing to the pain of this community. When we say that Jesus died for our sins, what we are really saying is that Jesus was made a scapegoat for the sins of the community. When there is confusion and loss, we humans tend to pick someone in the community to scapegoat and blame. And so I encourage you as followers of Jesus not to do that to anyone in this church, what the people did to Jesus, and blame any one or five or 10 scapegoats for the struggles of Knox. We're all in this together. But what is helpful is if we can all be open to the Spirit to search our hearts and make amends to anyone in this community we have ever hurt, or have the courage to reflect on those who have hurt you and go and say, let's talk about this. You may not even know, but you hurt me, and I want to talk about it because I want to heal the pain of this community. And we can do that with courage and with guidance, because we're going to have Kevin Fletcher here to help mediate conversations. If we have contributed to the pain of this community, then we need to make amends and know the liberating grace that is already there waiting for us, like the father with the younger son. And then message four, and this is my favorite part. Message four says, there's always a party at the end of each story. All of the searching and repenting and transforming and forgiving always concludes with a great big party at the end and a whole lot of rejoicing. Like the shepherd who called his friends and neighbors together to celebrate the lost sheep that has been found. Like the woman who called her friends and neighbors together to celebrate and rejoice with her over the finding of the precious coin she had lost. Like the father who threw a party for the lost son who returned home. When we have recognized that we are all precious and beloved, when we have searched diligently for the truth and for what we have lost and been honest and truthful with one another, when we take responsibility for our pieces, for our parts, and receive and offer grace, forgiveness to one another, then it's going to be time for an awesome party and celebration. For we will have lived the gospel, and the lost will have been found. You're all looking really dubious. Well, it's a process, isn't it? I don't know the things you've heard, because I haven't been here for the last 5 weeks. I don't know what necessarily you've been told, what you've heard. I have no idea, but I know what I know, and you know what you know, and you know what you know, and you know what you know. I took a course once in uncorking corporate pain. It was for churches that were going through difficulties, and what the facilitator told us we needed to do was to sit down at the beginning of everybody's memory of what you can remember about the church, and to share the stories of pain, share the stories of conflict, share the stories of division. And I know this church has been through great divides. But you're here together. And we're going to go through this. And everything's going to be okay if we remember the message of our stories today. That we are all precious and beloved. That we are all responsible in some way. That we need to search and figure out what that is. We need to offer grace to one another, to find our home again in this place. I want to end, I'm going to take a risk here. There's a few weeks ago, a fellow by the name of William was in my church at Deer Park. Wonderful man, a scientist, a professor at U of C. I could see he was on a spiritual journey. He's been on an incredible spiritual journey. His son was diagnosed with leukemia. Gordon recovered. He's been through a whole lot of struggle in his family. And then he went and took a course with Richard Rohr. And he came back from that, and he Facebooked me, and he said, I feel a call to ministry. And William is probably well into his 50s now, but he's feeling called to ministry. And he said, you used to do something at the end of our newcomers, of our end of our membership class. And I know you did it with your youth group, with the youth confirmation class. And I know you did it with all sorts of, like, your Bible study group. And he said, I need that. Our community needs what you used to do. What exactly were the words? I know it made me feel better. And I'd forgotten about it. And I thought, you know, I've never done that here. So I'd like to do it here now. So I'd invite you, if you take a risk, you can trust me, if you stand up and make sure that you're touching somebody, because I'd like us to join hands, and I'm going to ask you to repeat something after me. I'm going to repeat it first, so then you can say, I'm not going to repeat anything that I don't want to say. So I'm going to say it first, and then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. This is what I told William. We belong to God. We try to follow the ways of Jesus. We belong to each other. Would you stand and do that with me? We all got a hand? All right. Please repeat after me. We belong to God. We try to follow the ways of Jesus. We belong to each other. May it be so.
May it be so.
Amen.